This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
So ever the skeptic, I asked a question of Jim McLennan. Is it possible somebody, at least in some circumstances, is playing games with you and rapping? And when I think of rapping, I think of urban music. But doing this kind of rapping in another part of the house and you're picking up the vibes.
Well, you would think so. You would think, I mean, in this business of things getting in and out of the mini lab, but that must be some kind of like a magic trick or something. There must be some... The films that Cox produced, Ed Cox, they seemed like they were done through stop-action photography. The whole thing had a kind of hokey quality to it. So I assumed that there was some kind of wrapping device that concealed in the floor. So I and it was Tom Richards and Elaine Richards were the people whose house I was staying at there in Rolla. They were very friendly to me, and they allowed me to stay right in their house in the spare bedroom. So I waited till they were gone, and I went down the basement. I inspected the floor beams and looked at his shoes in his closet, and I figured there's got to be a way of figuring out to explain this because it seemed just too absurd. The whole thing was just so over-the-top absurd. You know, there's been a history of fraud within spiritualism, and so that if when you encounter this kind of thing, I think you should assume that there's fraud. And that was my assumption at the time. And I hoped that if I could just figure out how this is done, that would enhance my career as a paranormal investigator, you see.
So how did you go about trying to figure out how it was done?
Well, I kept my eyes open all the time. I tried to keep a track of everyone's position inside the house, and I couldn't figure it out. And so I decided I just wanted to get away from this, and this is a little bit too mind-boggling. So and after I'd been there for 3 or 4 days, I said, okay, I'm going to be leaving. But then the raps came out of the floor, and it turned out it was John G. Neihardt was rapping to me, the famous poet. And he invited me to go to Skyrim, where his home was, where his daughter still owned the home, and they were going to have a meeting on Sunday, and he wanted me to come to it. And the social situations, I felt kind of obligated because I'd been a guest at these people's house, so I agreed I would go ahead and come to it. And this meeting would occur a week from then. And Tom Richards gave me a bunch of audio tapes from experiments that they had. I think there's an awful lot of them. There are 30 of these audio tapes. And so I politely took these and I said, well, I'll listen to some of them. When I wanted to go back to St. Louis because I had the parapsychologist I need to interview there in St. Louis. So on the ride back, I listened to these tapes. And these people have been doing experiments. They've been making audio tapes of every single experiment, and he had been taking notes regarding every single experiment, and they had had table levitations. They had been photographing the tables up in the air. They had been communicating with the raps. The raps rapped out messages. They had a particular philosophy that they were advocating. It was a very, very complex situation, and these people had been involved doing this for over 20 years, and they had developed a very high level of rapport within their group. So I went to the session on, as they call it, Skyrim, where the farm was. The raps were coming out of the floor in three different places, and people were talking to the raps. And it turned out I was with people I didn't know, and they were unfamiliar with the raps themselves. And it was up to me to interpret what they were saying, count the, you know, spell it out and try to explain what was going on. I found myself in a strange position of being part of the group and explaining it to outsiders. That was the beginning of my realization. This is something that I certainly could not explain with my superficial explanations, saying, well, there's a wrapping device in the floor. At that session, the raps could come right out of the bare ground. Raps came out of their bare ground, and you could detect where they were coming from at the ground. So I realized I could not really explain it. I tried to interpret it within sociological paradigms, sociology of religion paradigms, but unfortunately the sociologists are not familiar with psychical research literature. It would seem to me, this would be probably something that shamanic practitioners would probably have experienced. They probably have had this similar experience as modern people with regard to extrasensory perception and psychokinesis and out-of-body experience, near-death experience, all the different phenomena we experience within the general population. I would expect that people in Paleolithic times probably experienced those same things. So that would explain the origin of religion, to my mind. That would be my hypothesis.
When you were there at the farm the first time, and you have to refresh my memory on this, didn't you have another experience that was rather earth-shaking, so to speak?
Well, let's think about that. It was an emotional experience, and I could feel there's like waves of emotion, of rapport were sweeping through us, and the room started shaking. It was like an earthquake was occurring. I have to admit, I was still skeptical. I was looking around. I was thinking, someone must be producing this earthquake. Someone must be jumping up and down. And I was trying to see who that person might be, looking at everyone's knees and trying to figure out who was causing it. And then I realized I just had to go along with it and just allow these waves of rapport to sweep over us, to sweep through. And then I would just have to go along with the flow. I had that realization.
You know, what's interesting to me, when you hear stuff like this, you wonder if some force or entity has all these powers to communicate with you, why would they do it in such a wacky way?
Well, that's a difficult thing to explain. I can only conjecture about that. It seems that an awareness of the cosmos, awareness of the interconnection of all life and all these wonderful new age kind of ways of thinking and talking, maybe that doesn't contribute to the evolutionary process. It seems like evolution involves protecting yourself and trying to pass on your own genes and protecting those genes as a selfish quality to it. And perhaps the realization of that we're all connected, you would need to engage in that evolutionary struggle. It doesn't matter whether you're alive or dead. If you're outside of space and time, then it doesn't really matter. You see, there's no need to be anxious to continue struggling.
I still don't understand how that explains this wacky way of communicating with people.
Well, I don't know. I don't think that I'm really explaining it very well myself. But that does seem that the trickster effect seems to be an inherent aspect of the phenomena. And the harder you struggle to try to explain it away using a normal methodology, it seems to be the greater amount of trickster quality you have, the more wacky quality you have. So it could be because Cox was trying to do this in such a careful fashion that was manifesting with all these kind of trickster and strange, wacky qualities. But, you know, spiritualism is like that. You can't really verify the authenticity of most of the phenomena. If it were easy to do, it would have been done to a greater degree than it has been done.
Well, we make assumptions. We assume if we're getting communications, it has to be from the afterlife, as somebody lived and died and went to a place where all they have to do, or maybe it's because they have empty lives, is hanging around in the house in which they used to live and scare people or rap on their chamber door. Only this and nothing more.
Yeah, and then actually, say a person goes to a seance, typically the most magical experiences involve some small pieces of information which they gain. So it isn't as if they're actually communicating with a living personality. There's a kind of a strange process going on, a kind of a sociological process where the person is constructing this because they want to construct it. You have a person like James Randi, the arch skeptic. They don't have those kinds of experiences.
Let's break here. We'll talk more about this in our next segment with Jim. And Gene and Tim, you're in
the Paracast.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
Are you ready to retire? Inflation is picking up, markets are volatile, and the dream of a comfortable retirement is harder to attain than ever before. The stock market goes up and down is beyond your control. But you're at a point in your life where you can't afford to make big financial mistakes. I'm Al Ibarroa, founder of Knight Strategic Wealth. Our investment strategy allows you to go up with the stock market, lock in your gains, and when the stock market goes down, your investment won't lose a dime. This works for your investments, savings at a brokerage firm, or even money at a bank. It's simple, it's safe, and that's why savvy investors work with us. Want to learn more? Text FREE to 833-898-0500, and we'll send our retirement readiness kit directly to your phone right now. If you want to help build a retirement portfolio that will go up with the market and literally never lose money, get our retirement readiness kit today and see how this strategy can help secure your future. Text FREE to 833-898-0500. Text FREE to 833-898-0500.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
I know I need to pay attention to my health, but I just can't seem to find the time. Between rushing to work and taking care of the kids, there's not much time left over for me. So I decided to start small by eating more fruits and vegetables and being more active. And then I got the family to make some changes too. We started by keeping a bowl of fresh fruit on the counter, and I limit the amount of sweet snacks I keep in the house. I've also found some creative ways to add more vegetables to our meals. We're taking more walks, and on the weekends, we head down to the pool at the rec center. It doesn't happen every day, but it does happen. You don't have to change your entire life to be healthier. Just make some simple changes and include your family. You'll see how easy and fun it can be.
You can make a difference. Eat smart, play hard, and when you do, your kids will too. A challenge from USDA.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the Mineral Doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, but I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Ah, yes, the late James Randi. I knew him before his skeptical proclivities were out of control. One time he was just a magician. Then he actually did a talk show in New York. He replaced Long John Neble doing a show that sometimes talked about the paranormal. And then I remember he was also an amateur astronomer. at some point in time, all we can think of with Randy is his skepticism of paranormal claims and his million-dollar reward with 2,000 conditions, but he's no longer with us, so we can't argue the point.
I also interacted with him a number of times, and I went visited him at his house and met him at various conferences, and he wanted to help me become more skeptical, and I did my best to remain skeptical, but I encountered too many things which seemed to overthrow that orientation. If you make skeptical predictions, a lot of times they're refuted.
So you're talking about earlier about the trickster aspect of the phenomena, and as Gene was asking, you know, I mean, why would these entities communicate by, you know, raps on the wall and, you know, moving stuff around, when if they have that ability, why can't they do more? But there is a universality about all of this. You can go any place in the world, you know, depending, of course, on, you know, cultural expectations, find the very same types of phenomena throughout history.
Yes, that's indeed the case. And this rapping sound is a universal phenomena. Within poltergeist phenomena, you often have raps and the throwing of objects and the trickster-type qualities of the poltergeist agent oftentimes being involved in doing tricks like that and being caught engaging in trickery. It's a puzzling situation. And I was, at the time when I was deeply involved with this case, I thought to myself, why is this so stupid? Why is it so ridiculous? Because it was way off. I had a great deal of difficulty getting this book, Entity Letters, published, because everything was just so very, very absurd. And most people thought that they could explain it away. But if there is, let's think about, suppose there is such a thing as an entity, okay, some spiritual being that has some semblance of personality or something like that. Well, if they encounter a skeptical audience, then that thwarts their existence. So I think the entities would like to have some kind of mechanism for making the skeptics go away. So being absurd and manifesting in absurd ways does that. It makes the skeptics just quit. And the parapsychological community got fed up with it because the phenomena could not be fully verified to their satisfaction. So they lost interest in this phenomena. But as a sociologist, I was just kept up with it because I was thinking, well, this helps explain the nature of religion to some degree.
Does it emphasize one religion over another, or any religion?
Well, no. In my travels, I found that these miraculous kind of phenomena crop up in all societies. So it seems to be a universal feature. All over the world, people have extrasensory perceptions, out-of-body experience, psychokinesis, near-death experiences. They develop belief in spirits, souls, life after death, and magical abilities. In particular, people have a propensity for this. They have childhood experiences, and the people in their community see the phenomena around them. Being around them increases your probability of having an unusual experience. So these are the kinds of people who would end up becoming shamanic practitioners. Now, in a modern society, we have an organized religion where you have priests, and there's books, which everything is quite structured. So we're divorced from this spontaneous type of individual experience and collective group experiences. It's less important because in a modern society, you have very huge entities and you need bureaucratic structures for organization. So religions that are going to survive have to have that type of bureaucracy and bureaucratic structure. And the leaders don't need to have this propensity for extremely anomalous experiences. But it seems that wherever you go, and I've had the chance to do a lot of traveling, every country I've ever been in, there's people will tell, when they find out the kind of research I do, they tell me this is very similar types of strange stories. There's patterns to them.
That certainly indicates an ever-present force, whatever it is. And if there's a trickster element, maybe you can bet that whatever you think it is probably wrong.
Well, probably. But whatever you think it is, it'll manifest. There'll be a tendency for it to manifest that in support of that. Perhaps that would be a hypothesis, wouldn't it? If you think that you're going to communicate with deceased people, then it'll take the form of being deceased people. And within the Surratt group, there's a certainly over half the people who participated felt that they were talking to discarnated entities, to deceased people. And that was part of the recreational activity of it. You can talk to your dearly departed relatives. But Ed Cox found that to be somewhat absurd. He was against the idea, so he would refer to them as the agency or entities. And that, and since I was working with him, I kind of picked up on that. And so I referred to it as the entity letters. But after the parapsychologists, you know, gave up on the case, the phenomena continued to be quite robust. And these, you know, you're not supposed to curse, but these silly entities developed the capacity to write letters, and I encouraged them. I left paper out for them, and they would write a letter, and then they'd put it in an envelope, theoretically, and then they would mail me letters. So I became like pen pals with them, and the other SRAP members picked up on that idea. So we developed this letter writing phenomena, and we would write letters. The entities would answer the letters and then send them off in the mail, and you could communicate with them. And this went on for decades.
Let me ask you a question here. This group, did they meet in person or remotely? What?
Well, they were meeting in person, originally with Dr. Neihardt. Then after his death, John Thomas Richards, or Tom Richards, became the main organizer of the group, and they would meet once a week at his house, you see. But then oftentimes he'd come to Skyrim, they would meet there also. Then when he lived in different places during his career, like he lived in Cape Girardeau, so then the group would meet there when he was working there, then that's where they would meet. But different Surratt members could organize sessions independent. He did not have to be present for the phenomena to occur. So there are other people who had this propensity. And then I have found from my research that this business of table tipping, certain people seem to have a knack for this. And if they're present in your group, the table will move around and novel, you know, funny things will happen and things like that. So I wouldn't be surprised if isn't some people listening to this radio broadcast right now, and some of them have had a very high level of anomalous experiences. And if we had them in our, I'm putting together an online group. So if a person wants to join that online group who has a high level of experience, there's a possibility of this thing manifesting online. It's what we're doing right now.
Okay, this group existed from 1961 until 2017, and I'm going to ask you, Jim, in our next segment, what led to its dissolution or ending? More to come with Jim, Gene, and Tim. You're in
the Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at TeamG'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at TeamG'day.com, and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. TeamG'day.com. TeamG'day.com.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
USA Radio News with Kenneth Burns.
Despite the show of force, the Russian military has not been successful in taking Ukraine. It has lost hundreds of tanks, and its death toll is on pace to outstrip the country's previous military campaigns. Former NATO commander Wesley Clark telling the CBC in Canada that Russian President Vladimir Putin is fighting for his life.
Mr. Putin must be dying inside. This wasn't at all what he planned. He thought he was going to sweep in 3 days. He probably bragged to Xi how great his military was, and He's going to look like he's going to look like a poor country cousin of China if he keeps this up.
Officials are investigating the crash of an Osprey aircraft during a NATO exercise. Four American Marines were aboard the aircraft when it went down in a Norwegian town in the Arctic Circle. The incident and the exercise is not related to the war in Ukraine. Wall Street ended the week with a rally. This is USA Radio News. Your credit report is about to improve as credit bureaus remove medical debt.
Equifax, TransUnion, and Experian announced nearly 70% of medical debt on U.S. consumers' reports will be removed. It was also announced that medical debts less than $500 will no longer be added to credit reports starting in 2023. From the USA Radio News Phoenix Bureau, I'm Tim Berg.
The dean of the U.S. House of Representatives has died. Alaska Congressman Don Young earned that title because he was the longest-serving member of the lower house. He was first sworn in 49 years ago. His office said that the 88-year-old Republican passed away as he was heading home to Alaska. He's survived by his wife, two daughters from his first marriage, and a host of grandchildren. Health authorities in China reported its first two COVID-19 deaths since January of last year. The two mortalities occurred in elderly patients with underlying health conditions, according to an official. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Hi, Peter Vaccaro for ParanormalDate.com. Are you looking for love in all the wrong places? Now you have a chance to change that by signing up for free at ParanormalDate.com. This incredible dating site puts people of like minds together. People who are interested in the strange, the unusual, mysteries, ghosts, UFOs, and the afterlife, and so much more. ParanormalDate.com was developed for you, people seeking a viable alternative to the other dating services. You can join for free by going to ParanormalDate.com, and if you decide you like it and want to connect with people, use the code GEORGE for a substantial discount. Mark Rawlings, president of ParanormalDate.com, says so many people hunger to share their experiences about the paranormal, the unexplainable, or the afterlife, and so much more, and this is the source for them to meet and share that common interest. So sign up for free at ParanormalDate.com, ParanormalDate.com, and use the code GEORGE if you decide to connect with someone you like.
This is Marie D. Jones, the author of This Book is from the Future, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Of course, it may be they sounded like Tim Swartz on our last break. That's why they gave it up. They said this is too much. But yeah, what led to the end of this group?
The group is no longer ended. When Tom Richards died, then that was the end of the Missouri Surratt. There was no more. His wife, they would hold meetings, but they didn't seem like they were able to get very much phenomena. Just very, very faint raps. And now Tom Richards' wife is now deceased. So it would seem that I'm the remaining person. I restarted the group, so we're now meeting online. So the Surratt continues now even today.
Aha, you're the big cheese.
Yeah, you might say that. I don't have a big enough ego to be a big cheese. I'm a small cheese.
But How many of you are in this group?
Oh, just a small number, just a very handful. But we have a guy out in Germany who has a very, very active poltergeist phenomena and has had the phenomena all his life. I have to admit that in my interaction with Surratt for decades, I clung on to a skeptical orientation. But as time goes by, it becomes somewhat silly to have that attitude. And so I've learned the phenomena is now following me. And I've had poltergeist phenomena here in my house here in Chesapeake, Virginia. You know, there it is. The thing happens. It's just as simple as that.
And so it follows you.
Yeah.
Okay, let's pursue that a little bit here, because there's an opinion that this phenomena is reflective. If you ask for it, it comes. If you run away from it, it chases you.
Well, it has a contagious quality. If you're exposed to it, then it can happen to you. Now, there's a large percentage of people who are very much afraid of this, and perhaps rightfully so. It's kind of like mental disorder in a way. It can have a negative features. some people hear voices in their head, and that's the beginning of a kind of psychosis. But other people have voices, and maybe that's some spirit talking to them, or maybe it's something positive. I think it's important to have some kind of psychologically healthy basis if you're going to get involved with this kind of thing, because it will reflect what's going on in your own psyche. So
it could make it worse.
Yes, it could make it worse. So it's beneficial to have some kind of positive tradition, maybe a positive spiritual foundation, and some kind of healthy social relationships, you know, and to like yourself, like to feel secure within yourself, you know. In forming this group, I've had a lot of participants who are very, very concerned about demonic forces, and they want me to say prayers to ward off the demons, and I'll do that if a person really wants it. But I think we need to just, like in this self-help book that we've written, there's different meditative procedures you can use, and you can come into contact with yourself and with the memories that you have, and be a psychologically healthy person. And you need not be afraid of the phenomena. I don't think that you really need to be afraid of the phenomena if you're doing it in a psychologically healthy context and seeking rapport within the group. You're going to be supportive of people. The people are going to support each other.
Okay, you could be a well-adjusted person and not have a religion. So what then?
Well, certainly you can. In fact, within Buddhism, there's a lot of Buddhists who don't need to actually believe in anything. And so that was something that I was encountering in Vietnam with this, my Buddhist commander that replaced the mafia type figure. It's not necessary to believe. You're just practicing a meditation strategy or something like that. But it's not a matter of trying to convert other people. It's not really a matter of believing, but of course, if something's going to work, then you're going to come and believe in it. If you can feel a positive effects from engaging in therapeutic practices, then you're going to continue doing that.
The implication of what you say is that if you really want this to happen, you can make it happen.
Well, that's placing a lot of emphasis on the person's ego, and I think the actual secret to success is giving up your own ego, not placing emphasis on yourself. If you think about it, say a depressed person or an anxious person, the source of the problem is the concern for the self. If you're less concerned for yourself, I think a lot of us would be better off being more concerned for other people than for yourself.
Well, that would be a practical position, again, irrespective of what religion you have, but people have experiences like this and they're not, or don't seem to be as well adjusted.
Right. There's a tendency for them not to be well adjusted because this propensity is associated with dissociation. And people who have had abusive childhoods or difficult childhoods, well, coping strategy is dissociation. So there's a tendency for these types of experiences to be related to difficult childhood and traumatic events in childhood and then later on in life. So that makes it all the more necessary to engage in some kind of practice which helps you reach, peace of mind.
Oh, yeah. Some of the best spiritual mediums in the past had extremely abusive childhoods. But then grew up and, were able to use that, I suppose, to succeed as mediums.
Well, let's think about it just from an international perspective. A person, say, who's had a very difficult time and yet has devised a method which overcomes those problems, then they can present that to the people around them within their societies. They look, it works for me. You can do this and it'll work for you. So Alcoholics Anonymous provides kind of a model for that. You know, a lot of people have a drinking problem and they realize it, but they don't know what to do about it. But within Alcoholics Anonymous, there are people there who have overcome that problem. And so they act as role models for others.
I want to go back to the letters. I've read that there were over 1,600 letters that were sent over, you know, a course of a number of years. And I guess that the letters were the questions were written, envelopes were provided, and then they were put into the Cox case, Cox box, as it is called, and sealed up, yet they managed to get out and end up being mailed.
Well, originally that was the case. In fact, Cox even has films of the pen lifting up and writing before his camera. But actually, the way I envisioned the experiment, the way I saw things in 1982, was that the more scientifically skeptical you were, the less phenomena you had. I actually set up a cot in the basement, and I slept beside the mini lab every night because I wanted to verify that I wanted to see what was really going on. And while I did that, nothing happened. So I just would leave a piece of paper beside the mini lab, and then that became more the norm as time passed. We didn't worry about security. Mm-hmm. There wasn't security with this letter writing thing. The whole thing was absurd, and it was absurd. A lot of the things in the letters were very similar to things going on in Tom Richards' mind. Some of the phrases were parallel to phrases that he used when he spoke to me. So it seemed as if some of this was proceeding from his mind. But a lot of it was a kind of a fantasy stories and fantasy narratives, and a lot of it was very just total trivia that they were just communicating people. It's just a correspondence. It was like a pen pal thing. You write, say, hey, entities, how are you? You know, what's it like on the other side? The entity says, oh, it's really great here. We're outside of space and time. You know, there's a kind of trivial quality to a lot of it. But there was a kind of a cosmology regarding probability and quantum mechanics. And this is in an era before that became popular.
That's great. We've got more with Jim and Gene and Tim. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
If you're like most Americans, you're pretty much in disbelief with what's going on in the world. As we all know, global problems are having local consequences. Too many of them. And if the peanut butter really hits the fan, are you ready? Grocery store supply chains are only as strong as their weakest link. Don't wait for them to break. Now's the time to secure emergency food for everyone in your family. My Patriot Supply is America's largest preparedness company. Our specially packaged and delicious food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. It'll be there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and pick up several emergency food kits. There are a dozen different sizes that average over 2,000 calories per day. Our food kits will ship quickly and discreetly to your door. Having food storage in your home beats government food lines hands down. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today and prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-932-5140. 800-932-5140. 800-932-5140. That's 800-932-5140.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So how'd it go for Jake?
What they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Hi, this is James Fox. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Outside of time and space, how much of this do you think, Jim, is self-generated?
I have no idea, but my impression, here I am, I'm a 75-year-old guy, my impression is that a small percentage is self-generated, but my observation is that a lot of the phenomena seems to be a counter to what I thought was the case, or it's not working the way I thought it was. So if it were self-generated, I would be supporting my own hypotheses, but that's not actually the case. I think it has to do with human consciousness and the collective nature of human consciousness. There's probably, when we talk about this shared reality that we experience, that's probably a shared consciousness of some sort. And it's far be it for me to explain this scientifically, but that's a kind of like a personal philosophy that I've evolved, that there's a collective consciousness and that you can name that however you want, whatever religion you're in, it's okay. But when you're, a lot of the paranormal phenomena is a kind of deviation from that. So if a small group gets together and they could create a kind of deviation from the collective consciousness, and then eventually they'll be overwhelmed. It's possible for this larger collectivity to eventually stop the phenomena from happening. And that seems to be what the parapsychologists experience. They get really good subjects, but then the quality seems to deteriorate and stop. So they don't have a fully replicable experiment, even though some claim that they do. But that's not the belief of people who are skeptical about the situation.
Is there a way, you think, for scientists to try to verify this, or do they think all of you guys and gals are just some kooks having fun?
Well, I would say the social sciences such as sociology, psychology, would have a chance to make some kind of progress, because we can pass out surveys, and we can collect the narratives, we can find correlations between the propensity for the anomalous experience, and we can find cross-cultural correspondences, and then we can see patterns within the data which would shed light on the nature of human consciousness. Then also, over time, there have actually been a lot of advances in understanding the human brain and understanding human consciousness and understanding the nature of sleep and of dreams. So I would think that if there's a young person listening to this podcast, by the time you're an old person like me, I bet there'll be some progress with their understanding of the nature of dreams. And it's possible that we come to a realization that there is some kind of collective consciousness phenomena, and probably some larger consciousness beyond anything that we can understand.
Well, there's always the collective unconscious, which is Carl Jung's theory, but then he related that also to UFOs.
That's correct. And in fact, the whole thing is related to UFOs, because the UFOs have a hiding quality, don't they? They don't just sit there out on the mall and allow themselves to be inspected. They appear and then they disappear, and the people who have a lot of UFO experiences are stigmatized. People, you know, there's a strange kind of hidden world associated with it. It's very much similar to the parapsychological world. The two things overlap. If a person has a lot of UFO experiences, there's a higher probability of them having extrasensory and psychokinetic experiences, and vice versa. And the Surratts have had UFO experiences. They have had many. I personally have not. Other people in the group have had pretty profound experiences.
Now, you referred to before experiencing paranormal events, and they kind of stick with you. That's being referred to as a hitchhiker effect among people involved in UFO research, that you see something, and sometimes that's the beginning, the onset of more phenomena.
Yes, and like with Uri Geller, when people see Uri Geller bend a spoon, and then they find that they're able to bend a spoon. Like the Japanese metal bender Masawaki Kyoto, people see him, and then they're able to bend spoons themselves. And the whole rapping phenomenon with the Fox sisters in the spiritualist era, it had a contagious quality. So the kind of thing that happens in one particular society has an ongoing existence, and it tends to continue, like seeing a vision of the Virgin Mary, for example, is more prevalent in Catholic societies than in non-Catholic societies. And the phenomenon takes on a manifestation of the society within which it occurs.
Let me ask you something here. On the rapping phenomena, again, folks, this is not urban music. The rapping phenomena, you communicate back with it by rapping?
No, you just talk to it.
You're talking to it. In words, you speak okay. Verbally, and it raps
okay,
back.
I heard it rapping, and I said, hello. And so then they started rapping. Here, I'll make the rapping sound. Here, I can't make it loud enough. C, D, E, F, G, A, H. Okay. A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H.
I prefer they use Morse code. It's a lot easier.
It would be, yeah, but most people don't understand Morse code. That's unfortunate.
Now, that's an interesting thing here. Has anyone ever, during these encounters, said, hey, why can't you speak up instead of rapping?
Well, I'm searching my memory banks for a question like that. There have been direct voice phenomena within spiritualism. There's a whole history of that. So there have been entities that have been able to speak up, theoretically. I don't know for that for a fact, but there's literature about that. And so I don't know. It seems like the rapping sound is a tradition, and it's something which, doesn't seem to bother skeptics. They just assume that it's fraudulent, and so it's able to continue. While the electronic voice phenomena, that's even more suspicious. So that would perhaps that's more difficult for the entities to manifest in that direction.
Right, but I'm saying to you, are you aware, with all these years you've been following this, nobody has said, hey, Mr. Entity, or Mrs. Entity, or Ms. Entity, why don't you just speak up like we do? Stop this silly rapping.
Well, Cox was always trying to elicit more vigorous phenomena. But if you say that, then they weren't able to do it. You've got to play with the cards that you're dealt, you know, rather than demanding something that you're not dealt.
In other words, they don't answer. If you say, well, speak up, yeah. They don't answer.
Yeah. And thus, I assume if you really believe that they could, then I suppose they would be able to. It seems to be a matter of belief. And the experience, it's not a matter of just saying that you believe something, but I think the actual experience is the foundation of belief. And people who have had these unusual experiences, it shapes you. And I've seen that in my own life. Over the years, I have been shaped. And so now I've come to accept this as probably authentic. I must admit, during years and years, I could not accept this letter writing phenomenon just seems so very, very weird. It's difficult to believe it's authentic, but why not?
You have a family, and how do they react to this?
Well, my wife is very skeptical, and so that's what I'm surrounded with right now. Now, my first wife, she was quite the believer, and she came out to Missouri a number of times, and she's spent time down on her knees and putting her hands on the floor where the raps were coming and marveling at the wonderful phenomena. So I guess I've had two families, and one went one way, and now this, my present wife is not at all supportive of this kind of thing.
What does she tell you? Stop it?
Well, she's tolerant of it because she knows I've been doing it and have all these books out about it. But she wants to inform me that scientifically this isn't going to go anywhere. And it would not surprise me if that were not the case, because of this hiding quality, it's difficult to use traditional science. It doesn't seem that a whole lot of progress is being made using traditional scientific methods. Now, J.B. Ryan put together this paradigm where we investigate ESP, and we have ESP cards, and they're separate, and you do all the statistical analysis, you know. And so they've done a lot of statistical analysis, but that doesn't seem to capture people's imagination, or it doesn't seem to have to sway the scientific community. The resistance to this is much more stronger than you might realize, and I think I feel it inside myself. I certainly resisted believing for long periods of time. There's a powerful forces which are maybe that's the force that's holding this collective consciousness together. You know. We're living in this shared reality. We don't really.
And therefore, you would say it follows that in the shared reality, we can sometimes manipulate the reality in different ways, either collectively or individually. We have Jim McLennan. We're talking about paranormal phenomena, rapping with Tim Swartz and Gene Steinberg in
The Paracast.
For listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.